deny you completely. Now we'll start the Bible studies. We are still talking about depending on his works and not our works, part 3 of that. Our text is Philippians 3:3. Philippians 3:3. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. We go by hitting this thing, and I want you to listen to me. If you don't get this fact, your Christianity will not produce what it's supposed to be. You will struggle with a lot of things, and you will not see the result at all. If you don't get this fact, that you will have to depend on what Christ has done, your Christianity will not produce. You are going to be struggling with so many things, and not be able to share with people your frustrations. So the scripture says, we depend on what Christ has done. Can we say that together, everybody? I want to hear you say it louder. So you see, we rely on what Christ has done. We cannot get by ignoring it. It's impossible to ignore Jesus and the cross and walk with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. It's not possible at all. So we live. The Bible said the just shall live by his faith. It is faith in Christ that produces the life of Jesus. Let me say it again. It is faith in Christ that produces what? The life of Jesus in our lives. In reality. Let me say it one more time. You must get this. It is faith in Christ that produces this life of Jesus in the Christian. There's no other way it comes. That's why the Bible says the just shall live by his what? His faith in Christ. That's how you produce life. That's how the Holy Spirit produces this life of Christ in us. So that if you were a liar, lying dies. It's not by effort. Lying simply what? Dies. Because it's not the nature of Christ. If you are a gossiper, gossiping simply dies. It doesn't appeal to you. Faith in Christ, let me repeat it, is what produces the life of Christ. To the extent your faith is in Christ, to that extent you will produce, that the Holy Spirit will produce that life in you. To the extent you rely on what Christ has done, to the extent your faith is in Christ, to that extent you will see the Spirit of God produce the life of Christ in you. And that encompasses everything that Jesus showed us through his life on earth. Galatians 3:10. It says, I want to read Galatians 3:10. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. Did you hear that? They're under what? God's curse. For the scripture says, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commandments that are written in God's book of the law. So it is clear that no one can be made right by God with God by trying to keep the law. It's not saying you live a lawless life. All it's saying is that you cannot produce this life by trying to keep some set of laws. That is ignoring Christ and trying to produce this thing yourself. That's what it's saying. It's not saying you live a lawless life and then live. No, that's not what it's saying. It said by trying to do this, you will not be able to produce the kind of life you desire to produce, though. You have the desire, but it's not going to work. So he says, so it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scripture says, it is through faith. Can I hear you say that? It is through faith. Come on. The scripture says, it is what? Through faith. It is through faith that a righteous man has life, produces life. It doesn't come through any other way. It is through faith. Christians, this has been the struggle that many believers have. Not understanding that they just live by faith. And looking down on these things, we keep struggling and hiding things under the carpet and we're not producing nothing. It's through faith. It is through faith that a righteous person has what? Life. It is through faith in Christ. Then he says, this word of faith is very different from the word of law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. He says, no, it's different. Before the word of faith, now understand the way this thing is written here. Before the word of faith in Christ was available to us, there was a time this word of faith in Christ was not available, when Christ had not come. He said, before this word of faith in Christ was available, before the word of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to say, until the word of faith was revealed. So the way we now go is the word of faith in Christ. That's how life is produced. I told you a story, and this is absolutely true. Somebody I know, very, very religious, extremely religious, he preaches at the drop of a hat, he will preach. But let me tell you something. Every single time I've had this person preach, the words he was preaching were coming to me like tongues. And I was, no effect, like tongues. In fact, I didn't really want to hear. And if you stayed around this person I'm talking about, it was like tongues, because it was so full of these laws and legalism and a sincere heart, very sincere heart. But he wasn't following the word of faith. So he couldn't produce life, this life of Christ. And I remember that I experienced the same thing myself. I did, very zealous, very sincere. But I couldn't produce this loving life of Jesus that attracts people. That attracts people to him. And one time, I met the same person again. The environment had changed. I'm telling you a real story. I mean, he didn't need to preach. He didn't need to say anything. Sitting next to that person, I could sense the life of Christ all over him. I could sense love. I could sense, you could sense the presence of the Lord. You knew it. He became very attractive. He became very attractive. Man, and I'm going, what? Then he made a statement. He said, now I understand the grace of God. He said, before, all these laws and things didn't produce anything. I sat there and said, yeah, you're right. I said, I was there too. Now his smile was real. If he smiled, it was genuine. It was real. He really loved. The difference was like day and night. Brethren, it's all about Jesus, you know. It's about Jesus Christ and faith in him. Let me read this thing in Galatians, the Message, Galatians 3:9. Galatians 3:11, the Message. Can you put it up? Let me make sure what I'm reading. Galatians 3:11. Oh no, 3:9, please. 3:9. So those who live by faith are blessed, along with who? Abraham. Who lived by faith? This is no new doctrine, after all, because Abraham had lived by faith. So those now, 10. And that means that anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Scripture backs this up. Utterly cursed is every person who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of the law. Then verse 11. The obvious impossibility of carrying out such a moral program should make it plain that no one can sustain a relationship with God that way. The person who lives in right relationship with God does it by embracing what God arranges what? For him. His faith. He embraces it. Doing things for God is the opposite of entering into what God does for you. They're not the same. That's what the scripture says. There remains a day when you enter into his rest, where you enter into embracing everything God has done for you in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says, unless you enter this rest, you will not enjoy the blessings of God. Exactly. So, he said, doing things for God is the opposite of entering into what God does for you. Habakkuk had this right. The person who believes God is set right by God. And that's the real life. Right? Continue. Rule keeping does not... Is that what I have here? Rule keeping does not naturally evolve into living by faith, but only perpetuates itself in more and more rule keeping. A fact observed in Scripture. The one who does these things, that rule keeping continues to live by it, by them. We must understand what the New Testament is all about. It is important that you as a Christian understands Christianity very well. It is not Judaism. It is not Judaism at all. It is not Islam. And it's not Hinduism. Christianity is totally different than all those things they call religion. Christianity is walking by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we say it together? Now, if you walk by faith in yourself, if I walk by self in myself, it is called idol worship. It is idolatry because my faith is not in God. My faith is in me. So the person I'm worshiping is who? It's me. And how much can I produce? Not much. Not much. Not much. And so the scripture teaches us that we must trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. Now, 1 Samuel 2:9 brings out a very important fact right here. 1 Samuel 2:9. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength, no one will succeed by strength alone. Can we say that? Can you put back King James Version in that scripture? It says, he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man what? Prevail. I cannot prevail by putting confidence in me. And saying, okay, from today, you know what? From today, Doc, I'm not going to tell you lies again. That's putting confidence in me. Because what I'm telling him is what I'm going to do. I'm not telling him what God has done to stop me doing that. All I'm telling him is what I'm going to what? Do. I'm making my boast in myself. That's putting my confidence. It's the same thing like the man who went to pray in the church, telling God what he has done. Not one single thing was what he said about what God did. So I said to Doc, you know, after listening to that sermon, I won't tell you lies anymore. You know, if it's me, I will not believe you because I know your confidence is in the thing that cannot sustain you. And that is you. How many times have we made such decisions? It didn't last 24 hours. And yet we still don't learn. In fact, if you make such decisions, it's like you fall further down. You do more. You do worse. Because your confidence is in yourself. I cannot put my confidence. We sing it here. I will never worship man what? Made God. But worshiping me is worshiping man made God. It's worshiping human beings. And it is pride. It is pride. Total pride. To begin to trust in myself and not rely in the hand of the Lord. Amen. And you know, unless I begin to listen to the wisdom of God that God is showing me, revealing to me, I cannot walk with God. The Bible says by wisdom, the world cannot find God. And if I cannot find God by my wisdom, how can I walk with him by my wisdom? My wisdom is the thing that comes from me, what I think it should be, the way I imagine that God thinks, and God acts, what God wants for me to do. All those kind of things that is not from him is my wisdom. Don't forget that Jesus told his disciples, he said, these Jews, they are very zealous. He said, they will kill you and think that they are serving God. There are a lot of things we do, we think that God is impressed. God is not impressed. If it's not his word, he's not impressed. Because you can't bring wisdom that is better than his own. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 1:21 says something very interesting. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 21. What does he say there? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. So by the wisdom of the world, you can't know God. By my wisdom, I can't not know God. By your wisdom, you can't not know God. So he's saying by the wisdom, by that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Then it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that do what? They believe. So, the power of God for you and for me manifests to only those who accept the wisdom of God. Only those who believe it. And the wisdom of God sounds foolish because you can't figure it out. And God says, yes, but I have chosen to use that foolish thing to save you from all your troubles. So there's a question that the scripture asks, which is relevant. In Isaiah 53 verse 1. Isaiah 53 in verse what? Verse 1. Who had believed our report? In other words, who believes what God is saying here? And what's the benefit of believing what God is saying? He said, to whom is the arm of the Lord now revealed? You know who is the arm of the Lord? It's Jesus. He's the power of God. To whom is Christ revealed in his life? Paul talked about when he pleased God to reveal his son in me. Then I began to teach him. To who is the son of God revealed in his life? To who? I remember a friend that died. Late Pastor Frank. I went to Atlanta to speak at his service. A very, very sound Christian. Frank never told anybody he was a Christian. When I met him, he never introduced himself as a believer. He didn't. I was the one that went to him and told my wife that this man must be a Christian. And I'm not kidding you. At the time I did this, I didn't know. You might think it's, but I'm telling you the truth. I didn't know there was any other Christian outside our church. Because we were made to believe that we were the only Christians. But I saw this man and interacted with this man. And I went home and told my wife, I said, this man must be a Christian. Contrary to what they taught me, he never told me he was a Christian. Never discussed Christianity with me. Nothing. But the life of Christ was being revealed in his life. And I didn't need anybody to introduce that. I was seeing that. See, you don't introduce light. Anywhere you see light, you will what? You know it's light. The whole thing is God wants his son to be seen, not us. Wants his son to be seen. Because it is his son. That through his son, God does stuff. The Bible says nothing was done without him. And still, nothing will be done without him. You and I cannot attract anybody to God. It is the Christ that attracts people to God. He's the magnet that pulls people to God. So, the arm of the Lord, Christ being revealed through us, is actually divine purpose. But the only reason, the only way it can happen is who has believed God's what? Report. Who has? So that the arm of the Lord, the Christ the Savior will be revealed. Will be revealed. And this one reason we praise Him, when we sing and praise Him, is what Christ, what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. That is the greatest thing any man can have. Those things that God did for us in Christ Jesus. Let's see Paul in his prayer in Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Why do I give thanks unto the Father? Which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. He has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Paul says we give thanks for these things. We appreciate these things that God has done for us. And then he was warning us about not believing them. He was warning us about not believing these things, not believing these truths that the Holy Spirit is witnessing about Jesus Christ. And we're going to revisit those truths pretty soon. So he was warning us in Hebrews 3:12. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of heavenly calling. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, not 1. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you what? Talk to me. What? An evil heart of what? Unbelief. In departing from the living God. You see, that the thing that will separate you and make you depart and make you move away from the living God is evil heart of what? Unbelief. It is that unbelief in not believing the report of the Lord that will prevent the arm of the Lord manifesting in your life. And when it doesn't manifest, you depart, you separate. You separate from what he's doing. So what is this report? What is this that the Lord is warning us that we must believe so that the arm of the Lord will be revealed in our lives? What is this report? Look at Ephesians 3:4. Paul began to talk about what that report is. Ephesians 3:4. He says, whereby, when you read, you may, I'm reading King James Version, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You may understand my knowledge in the mystery of what? Christ. Verse 5. Whereof, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit of God. Verse 6. That the Gentiles should be made fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ. By what? By the gospel. He said, the message is that we, verse 6, that we Gentiles, we now become fellow heirs, which means we are now owners of divine blessing. Fellow heirs. Divine blessing belongs to us, and of the same body. We now belong to the family of God and partakers of every promise that God fulfilled in Christ has become our own. Not going to be our own. We have become partakers. We have become what? Partakers. Partakers is come and eat. It's there. You don't tell me to come and partake of what is not there. You call me and say, Pastor, come and partake. And I come and say, I'm still going to the market. Say, what for? I forgot the meat. What am I partaking? I'll just go home. To call me to be a partaker is that the food is already there. So you must understand what Paul is unraveling and bringing to the body of Christ, that this is the mystery that God has revealed to you. See, you must know the knowledge I have about this mystery in Christ, that the Gentiles now have become people who are rightful owners of all the blessings of God. Fellow heirs. To be a heir is to be a co-owner of all the blessings of God and become part of his body, members of his household. They are not strangers no more. And that not only that, all the promises of God in Christ is now ours to come and partake. Does that excite you? No! Because if it excites you, I will see it on your face. If I say now that God has brought $1 million to share, all of you will sit up, your faces will shine. We can turn off this light and still see with your face. 1 million. But this one, that Paul said, we give thanks for this. See, the reason is that you don't see the direct correlation between this thing Paul is saying and your victory over sin, sickness, everything. You don't see the direct correlation. If you see, you will jump off for joy. Because these are the things that place you where God wants you to be. These things. Puts you where God wants you to be. It's these things that Paul is talking about. So I want us to look at this message now in more details. Like we said, the Christian faith is to trust in Christ 24/7. It's not that you believed in the Lord Jesus when you were saved. Then you drop it somewhere and begin to manage your own life. That's not Christian life. You will struggle for nothing. And you won't overcome. Because by strength shall no man... Yes, you will struggle for nothing, you won't overcome. Brethren, I had that experience. And it is absolutely true. But I thank God that I had that experience. Because if I did it, I wouldn't know the difference. I had that. I struggled with sincere wanting to really be perfect the way God wanted it, but was failing every day, lower and lower and more lower. Yes. Praise the Lord. And the worst thing, my life never won anybody. Not one person. I preach from house to house. Not one person. Nobody ever stood still. Not one person. Because the life of Christ was not being revealed. I didn't know these things I'm teaching them. I was sincere in pursuit. But Paul said the way to that, I didn't know. Paul said it. He said the frustration I face. He said, who will deliver me from this body of sin? He said, I have my own frustration. He said, the way, I don't know. Then finally he discovered the way. He said, but thanks be to God that now in Christ Jesus, that the Lord of Spirit of life has set me free from the law of what? Sin and death. So that now I found the way. That is Christ. It's from what he did. He said, what the flesh could not do, God did. I found it out. May you discover that in Jesus' name too. So look at Hebrews 3:14. You see that the same faith in which you were saved is this faith you have to hold on every day. And that's the faith that works for you. And the Holy Spirit can now produce these things in you. Hebrews 3:14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. If we, that's an if there. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast, the way we trusted Christ, if we continue to trust him the same way, we become partakers of his life. We become sharers of his life. Then in verse 15, why it is said today, if you hear his voice, harden not what? Your heart, as in the provocation. Let me illustrate again what I'm talking about. And I want you to hear me. I was supposed to go with my wife to somewhere. I think yesterday or 2 days ago. And then she was cooking. You know, women love to cook. When we were supposed to have gone, she was cooking. And I came there, she was cooking and running up and down. Normally before, right there I would have said, but you know we are going out. Are you telling me? Don't you see the time? Eh? And we're late. Believe you me, I didn't think of that. It didn't cross my mind. I just went down, sat at peace. So when she's free, we go. Complete, that was a different thing than Manelo. And I didn't make effort to produce that. When she came down, I was at peace. I took her bag and went. I didn't even discuss it. Before, in that car, we were talking about it. I said, that's how you women, you always make me late. And I'll remind her the number of times she had made me late. Brethren, this is the life we generally live. And we think it doesn't matter. That's not Christ. The patience of Christ flows out. It's fruit. You don't force these things. You don't force them. You just see the Spirit of God manifest it. Manifest it seriously. It didn't cross my mind. It was after we went. In fact, I was saying to myself, wow, this is a different person. Because I know what that meant. And some men here would identify with me that they, somebody say, yeah. That means it's true. You know, what I teach you is practical. Telling people the truth. Have I perfected? No. But the more I learn to trust him, the more I see the Spirit produce that thing. That effort. The more, sometimes I still go off. But you realize that when you go, the number of times you go off is becoming less and less. It's not like before. And when you go off, it's the time you are there is shorter. You get back to yourself. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you understand me, say amen. You know, we hide a lot of things under the carpet. The only thing we know is our daughter. I've said it somewhere. I said, I don't know how the devil deceived the church. The only sin is adultery. Once it's not adultery, it's okay. We are now holy. Where did we read that in the Bible? Why did we read it in the Bible? Well, lying is okay. Nobody goes to the pastor and says, Pastor, hey, you know I lied. Have you ever heard it before? Why are we comfortable with things and then feel we are holy now? We were discussing in the Love Center about challenges. And I was sharing with them that challenges, and I want to listen to this, challenges reveals you to yourself. If you don't know that, know it now. Challenges reveals what? You to yourself. Challenges will reveal your cracks in life. The erosion of your soul will be revealed in challenges. And I was telling them how the Lord told me. He said, when you build aircrafts, when they build new aircrafts, where do they take them? I said, they take them to the where there is turbulence. They will on purpose fly it into severe, the worst things that plane will face. That's where they're headed. And they will put all types of monitors. He said to me, when he goes through that, what do they do? I said, they go and watch the monitors to see how the engine has performed, if there's any cracks. He said, don't you know that when you pass through the turbulence of life, you can also watch and see if you have cracks in your life. He said, when challenge comes your way and you can't forgive, don't you understand you have erosion of your soul? That what is showing you is that there's a crack in your life that needs to be mended. And if you don't do that, your wing will fall off one day. The crack will be becoming bigger. Unless one day your faith will... Challenges reveal us to us. It says, every man's faith will be what? Tested to see of what stuff is made of. To see what it is. So if I can't be patient with my wife, it's a serious, very serious signal that something is wrong in me. I start to go to God and say, if this is not dealt with, it's going to cost me greater fissure in future. Greater fissure in future. And the devil will tap me with it. But we overlook it. Like they overlook the plane that went for a test. They won't test, they won't check anything. It's still flying, it's still flying now. But one day that crack will be what? Increasing. And one day a severe storm will hit it, one wing will fall off. See, that's exactly what how Christians are. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. How do I know that I need to develop patience when I find I'm impatient? And we don't think it's important to do things like that. But brethren, I don't know anybody who wants to walk with one leg and the other one is full of pain, it's limp. We want it healed. Because when it's healed, you can walk better. You don't want any spiritual deformity. You don't want it. Because you can't function fully with it. But because we are bothered in the things that people see, but once people don't see that, we are comfortable. I don't know that if I come here limping, you know you see my trouser, but I know the thing is where? Inside. Are you following me? Ah, everybody's quiet. Did I come to your house? Somehow. That's why the scripture says, it says the hand that is down, heal it. Get it healed. Get it healed now. Because you've got to have, if you want to have fullness of God in your life, God has to have entrance and all through your life. God has to move unhindered. Unhindered. But we cannot be seeking the praise of men. Jesus said, you can't believe if you are seeking the praise of men. Because you are comfortable with when men think you are good. But the thing that's issue, you are not dealing with. He said, you cannot believe unless. Can somebody attend to Mrs. Mohammed, please? Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? We overlook it because people don't see it. Why we get embarrassed is the one people see. We feel embarrassed. And we start walking like but the ones people don't see. Is it not what the scripture says that little foxes spoil what? Spoil the vine. He said all these things, they make us trip in our race. But the solution in it is in Christ. Can I hear him? The solution is what? In Christ Jesus. That's when God's wisdom begins to operate in your life. And those things you are neglecting, you really see exactly how God sees them. And you begin to understand what it does to you. And realize how dangerous they are. I'm telling you. I'm not kidding you. Otherwise, you'll be a religious person. You know, Jesus said that the religious people, they're always concerned about the outside. But the inside is full of dead men's what? Bones. Challenges reveal us to us. First Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, the message, this is now the message that we should believe. This is what God is talking about. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Everybody say the gospel. Which I preached unto you, which also you have received. And now, wherein you still stand, as you have believed before, you have to continue to believe every day and stand on it every day. In verse 3. Should be verse 3. By which also you are. Did you see the words? Ah, not where. Present. He didn't say where. It's on purpose. By which you are what? Which means your salvation is a continuous thing. I was sharing with Daddy. I said victory comes in small packages on daily basis. Victory comes in small what? Packages. I say we don't recognize victory ourselves. We think only when it is the big victory. That's no. It comes in small packages. But those small packages build up and one day the big one will Sure. I say victory comes. You made it through the day. Say victory. I mean, you made it what? Through the day. Praise the Lord. You made it through the day. That's a huge victory. It comes in packages daily. Give us this day our daily. Yeah, victory comes in small packages like this. You made it through the day. Once there is life, there is hope. You made it. Then one day the whole thing will fizzle out. You get great victory, get complete victory work. Praise the Lord. So it says, by which also you are saved, which means it's a continuous thing that works for you if you stand on it every day. You are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first, this is what he said, he taught the Christians. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ, number one, died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's number one thing I told you. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to again the scriptures. Five. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. He said, I gave you people 3 points. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. And he said, I gave you three points. If you believe in the benefits, what these 3 things did for you, your salvation, your freedom will remain constant. If you believe in this thing. Oh, it's foolish. Oh, yeah, God says, why are you foolish things? If you believe in this, Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and he rose. If you find out why he died, what you benefited from his burial, what you benefited from his resurrection, if you believe in this strength, you will remain in freedom. Your salvation will be perpetuated. Will be perpetuated. What is perpetuated? Constant. So don't look for a solution outside of these 3 things. Church, I'm telling you now. The gospel. Jesus died for our what? Sins. He was buried. And he... Don't look for a solution for anything in your life outside these 3 things. If you do, you're your own. God did nothing outside of these 3 things. Paul said, I'm telling you people the gospel by which you are saved. How I told you now that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. And he rose again. He said, if you stand on this, you are saved. If you stand on this, you are saved. Praise the Lord. So we're going to look further. Why those 3 things are the pillars. Why is it that Paul is saying, if you stand on this, you are saved. Now, this truth that Paul shared, called the gospel, is the truth that if you know, you walk free. You walk free. Can I hear amen? But like I said last 2 Thursdays, our problem is that we are looking for solution in ourselves. And what you can do and what you want to do. But God says, no, Christ is the answer. If you believe, if you stand on this thing, you are saved. If you stand on this, as you believed it to be saved, you continue to walk in him, believing the same things. This truth you know will keep you free. Let me hear amen. Do you know that all the letters of Paul to the churches was based on this thing? He didn't deviate from it. All the letters he wrote to all the body of Christ that the Holy Spirit gave him was based on this fact. Jesus died for our sins. He died. He rose. That was the thing that the Holy Spirit gave him interpretation about. He was writing to the churches. And I want to show you 3 churches he wrote the same thing about. And now he's writing to Orange Four Square Church, the same thing. Can I hear amen? Okay, let's go and read it. Let's go and read what he gave us. Colossians 2:11. This is the church in Colossae. Paul was writing to Colossians 2:11. I want to remind you again that Paul didn't write anything outside this thing. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus was raised. He didn't write anything outside. But the church today doesn't even make it center point of their message. At all. We want to preach the law more than Moses. But the truth, which is Christ, we put behind. How can it work? Can somebody explain to me how it will work? Colossians 2:11. When you came to Christ, now you see, he began to explain to the body of Christ what happened by Jesus dying on the cross. When you, Colossians 2:11, when you came, that is New Living Translation. This must be King James Version. New Living Translation. When you came to Christ, you were what? You see what is beginning to tell them what happened on the cross. You don't see it in Matthew, Mark, and John. And look, you don't see this in there. That's what Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, he will show you these things. Now the Spirit is interpreting to the church what happened on the cross. He says, when you came to Christ, you were what? Circumcised. You were what? Circumcised. But not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision. The cutting away of your sinful nature. Stop there first. The cutting away of your what? If that sinful nature is not cut away, you will never inherit the kingdom of God. Corruption will never inherit incorruption. Impossible. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. If nature is not cut away, once you die, you are headed to hell. You don't even have anything to do with God alive, not to talk of when you die. These are the things that the Lord could not do. That God sent his son to what? To do. The Lord could not change our nature. Could not cut it off. Nobody could do that. The Son of God came to put away sin. He died for our sin. The Holy Spirit is telling us what the details of that. He died for our sins. He died for our sins. So he said, first thing he did is to cut away our sinful nature, which is the main issue. The real jam, the real causative agent for our sinfulness is the nature we have. So, when you came, now the next verse. For when you were buried, everybody say buried. Remember he said, I told you how Christ was buried. I told you how he rose again. I told you he died for our sins. He said, if you believe this thing, if you stand on this, you are saved. Now he's interpreting to the church. I read the Bible. Paul never wrote anything outside of these three things. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose. He never. He said, this is what I received from God to share with two people. I don't have any. I'm not preaching Moses' laws. I'm teaching Christ crucified. I preach Christ what? Crucified. So he said, he now said, you see, for when you were buried with Christ, he says, now I'm talking about the benefit of his burial. Somebody shout hallelujah. When you were buried with Christ, when you were baptized, that's when you came into Christ. And with him, you were now raised. You see, he said, I'm preaching to you how Christ was died, buried, and was raised. So he's now beginning to show us what happened to us because of those three pillars of the gospel. When you were buried with Christ, when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to what again? New life, because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Verse 12, 13. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet caught. You were what? Dead. What does it mean you were dead? Separated from God. Because if you had that nature, you will remain separated from God in life and in death. The law of Moses cannot achieve this. And nobody can achieve this. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Nobody can. Except Jesus himself. So you were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive. You see what God did in Christ? God made you alive with Christ. For he forgave all your sins. Now go to Ephesians 2:1. This is another church in Ephesus. Ephesians 2:1. Ephesians 2:1. Not Exodus. Ephesians. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Verse 2. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So the issue is the nature was bad, and then there was demonic influence over us. Then let's continue. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and the inclinations of our sinful nature, By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just as everyone else. Verse 4. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much. Quick, keep going. Verse 5. That even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us what? Life. When he, come on church, talk to me. When he raised Christ from the dead. Remember what he told Colossians? He said, when Christ rose, you were raised with new life. Now he's talking about when he raised him from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Somebody shout hallelujah. Paul never went outside these three things. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ was raised. And he showed the Christian how he benefited from the whole three things. On the cross, he circumcised us. He took away the nature of sin. He said, when he died, we died with him. When he rose, we rose with newness of life. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, let me show you what he told Romans. Colossian church, Ephesian church, mark and see if Paul has deviated from this threatening. Mark and see. Romans. Romans 6, 1. Romans 6, 1. Well then, should we keep on sinning now? So that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace. Verse 2. He said, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to what? Live in it. 3. Or have you forgotten? Church. Or have you what? He said, the reason you are sinning is because you have forgotten this truth. Have you forgotten that when you were joined to Christ in baptism, we joined him in his death. Continue. For we died and we are the same word he's using for Colossian church, Ephesian church, Roman church. You were died. You died with him. You raised with him. He said, if you believe these three things, your salvation is continuous. You continue to see it work. He says, for we died and we are buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live, come on church, may live a new life. Verse 5. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Verse 6. We know that our old sinful self was crucified with Christ so that sin might lose. Come on, church. Sin might lose what? Its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to. He said, you forgot this. Have you forgotten this? Christians, he said, you forgot this. How can you forget this? Your faith is no more in Christ. That's why you are falling. That's what he's telling them. He said, or have you forgotten? How can you? You remember he wrote Corinthian church the same thing? He said, don't you know? Don't you know that your members are now, your body is now what? Your body is now what? Temple of Christ. He said, have you forgotten that? That you are no more your own. He died to buy you. You belong to him. You are part of his body now. He said, have you forgotten that? Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? Church, are you following what I'm saying? If you remove your faith from God and Jesus and the cross, you are putting your faith in something else, and that is sinking sand. You can't forget what God did, that he gave us new nature. He crucified this body of sin on the cross, and we rose with Jesus with newness of life. Can I hear amen? Yeah. Now, the Bible says, who has believed what? When you begin to believe this report, church, the arm of the Lord, the resurrected Christ, will be revealed through your life by the Holy Spirit. Oh, you say, Pastor, you know, you don't know, I'm struggling with sin. Yes, everybody does. Everybody does. But let me show us how the Bible teaches us to stand on this truth. He used Abraham to show us an example. Romans 4:18. I'm going to read the message. I want you to listen to me. Maybe you don't have a Message Bible. I'll read it for you. Please listen to me. This will bring everything together for you, for us. When everything was hopeless, when everything was what? There are things in your life that contradicts this truth. There are things in my life that contradicts this truth. There will always be. Because we are growing. And going from glory to what? So there will always be. It should not dismay you. It should not make you stop believing what God has done. No. Instead, it should reinforce your faith in God and say, this thing is yea and amen. Yes, because we are growing. We are growing. Like I told you, the more you believe, the less this one is going away. And nobody will get to perfection in this world until we have the new flesh, the new body that God promised us. Can I hear amen? Amen? So the Bible talks about Abraham when everything was hopeless. So you can fall in, you can do things that surprise you, things that make you feel bad. What did Abraham do? Abraham still believed anyway. Can you believe anyway? I'm asking you. Abraham still what? Believed anyway. Deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw. Are you feeling cold? Huh? You're not feeling cold. Not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so, he was made father of a multitude of people. God himself said to him, you are going to have a big family, Abraham. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence or say, this is now hopeless. Now you can't because you fell here, you say, oh, this is now hopeless. No. You will still believe that you have a new nature. And what God finished on the cross is the yes and amen. You know? So he said, Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say it is hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor except, oh, I've been telling lies for so many years. This will never change. No, it's a lie. It will change. I say it will change. He says, Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say it is hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. What did Abraham do? He didn't tiptoe around God's promises, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God. If you understand me, say amen. So you don't, because of failures here and there, say, oh, this is not true. No, it's true. It is true. The gospel is here. And then if you continue to believe it, like Abraham continued to believe it, you are going to be having small, small victories every day that one day will translate into a huge victory. Abraham was having small victories every day. Every day he would wake up and give God thanks. And Sarah was still old. His body was still old. But he was having a small victory of thanksgiving. 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 And one day, Sarah called him and said, "Sir, say, I didn't see some things." It took small, what? Victories on daily basis of giving thanks. Of giving thanks. But there were still contradictions. But the man continued to what? Give thanks. And give thanks. Until one day, the whole thing burst through. And the promises of God became full. You can't say, because you failed today, oh, you are a sinner. You are not. Because you failed, forget about it. Believe that God, by his death, Jesus circumcised you. You died with him. You rose with a newness of life. Who has believed our what? The Bible says, if you stand on this, you shall be saved. You are going to be getting victories. On one day you wake up, you find that lion is gone. Can I hear amen? Small victories. Tell your neighbor, he's talking to you. Small victories. One day you go to your job, they say the same thing that used to make you angry. You find like you are somebody that have removed all your bones. You are no more able to respond that way again. Small victories. Daily basis. Father, thank you. I'm a new creature. That's what my son Ugo does. I hear him in the bathroom. Father, I'm grateful to you. I'm a new creature. The old one is dead. I'm a new person in Christ. Yeah, I rose with Jesus in newness of life. That's what he does. That's what he does. And then you can watch him. He can't have enough of God. He's virtually in every ministry because his spirit is pumping. The thing is charging. The Bible says, charge yourself up. The thing is charging. Small victories. But you are packing up something. Going from glory to glory. You were here today. Small victory. Higher. One day the whole thing will. Because Rome was never built in a day. And the Bible says we are being built up. We are being what? Built up. It's a block at a time. Remember, victories come in small blocks. But you will get there. I said you will what? Don't let the failures of today tell you that God is a liar. It's not true. Don't look at those things. Continue to believe. Continue to stand on the gospel. It is yea and amen. Praise the Lord. Was it not some months ago, I was still yelling and shouting. Now, I just was sitting like somebody they remove his bull. Just sitting like powerless something. But it took small victory. Small victory. Thanking God. Believing like Abraham. Not looking at the deadness. Not looking at the other deadness. Not looking at this deadness. But keep on thanking. Keep on thanking. Climbing the step, a step at a time. Suddenly you're on top and you're viewing the whole glory. Is anybody there? We will get there. Did you get what I'm saying? Shall we rise up? I'm going higher. Yes, I am. I'm going higher today. I'm going higher. Yes, I am. I'm going above the shadows.